Chaitanya Bhagavatamti Kanda, Chapter 8. Please, we invite everyone to get away. It's a getaway weekend. And we want you to get away from illusion and mundane attachments and any type of place in the material world which you think is important, like Bombay or Mumbai or whatever, and Delhi. And come with us, because Vrindavan Das Thakur is going to take us for a ride. This is the ultimate ride. It's the joy ride, because it's the Ananda Leela of Ananda Maya Leela. Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya. It's the Leela of that person who has made his very form as Ananda Maya, Ananda Leela Maya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And this particular Leela we've been describing for several classes is called Sambhog, Gauranga Bhakta Sambhog Milan Leela. Sambhakta, Gauranga Sambhakta Sambhog Milan Leela. Because they're meeting together at Sambhog, and there's so much happiness, and they've been waiting a month to see their lover. Imagine if your lover's house was a month away from your house, and you said, "Oh, I'm going to meet my lover now," and you started walking for 1 month, day and night, and obviously the closer you get to your lover's house, the faster you're going to walk. And then as you walk faster and faster, your ulas, your anticipation of meeting your beloved, your remembrance of previous pastimes, rasodgar, and all the warm and wonderful times you had together will just start to manifest and grow more and more in your mind with every step you go closer to your lover's house. And not only that, and in that sweet remembrance of a separated lover, there's no remembrance of anything bad about the lover. You can only remember all the good qualities, and that's in a material example. Now, just taking that example and transferring it to the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Shivananda Sen and Vaitacharya, their beloved Brahmani wives are also there, and even children and babies sometimes, and Shivananda Sen's son, Kavi Karnapur, Chaitanya Das. They're walking, and then they saw the flag and the Kamalapur. They saw the flag, and then they knew they were only a few kilometers away. And then Lord Chaitanya, he understood in his heart, yes, they're here, they're coming, they're about coming. So he sent down prasad, and then finally when they arrived by Narendra Sarovar, just near there, then he went there and he met them. This is a recap of what we heard. And then they met, and there was just the beautiful that Milan, that Sambhog, that complete full enjoyment that they all experienced. Sambhog means complete, full enjoyment. Some, complete, and of an incredible, unlimited extent. So much they were crying, they're rolling on the ground, they're offering obeisances in every direction, and no one knew whether they're offering obeisances to the head of the devotee or the tail, or the feet or which direction. They were offering obeisances everywhere, and Mahaprabhu embraced Advaita. And started glorifying him and exchanged garlands, and tears of love were falling down the eyes of Advaita's face and Gauranga's. And Advaita was roaring. It was such a beautiful meeting. And this is what we heard. This is a frozen moment in the last interlude of our discussion. And all kinds of Mahaprasad from Jagannath was brought there, sent there by Jagannath's personal arrangement. The Lord wants to decorate his devotees, and the devotees want to decorate the Lord. And this is beautiful. There's no demons here. There's no Jagai and Madai here. There's no Putanas and no Ristasauras and no anything like that. There's no opposition party here. It's just it's a dance. It's like a dance. In the Ras Mandal, every member there is a member of the love party. They're all there for one objective, to give love, to taste love, to relish love, to dance with love, to express love. Because it's the divine dance of love. That's Radha and Krishna's Ras Leela. So here, everyone came to love Gauranga, and he came to love his devotees. So this is Prem Milan. It's very beautiful. Throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are so many meetings of separated persons. It's very interesting. It would be an interesting analysis. Excuse me. Throughout the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Charitamrita some, but especially in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains so many ecstatic meetings. I mean, this is quite an overused word, ecstatic, But what to say? That's what it is. You know, premi laws, utkanta bhava, whatever. There's so many ways they must can say, I suppose. But Nityananda meeting Gaur at Nandanacharya's house, Gauranga meeting Pundarik Vidyanidhi coming from East Bengal, and Gauranga meeting Advaitacharya at Nandanacharya's house, and someone, Gauranga meeting at Bhattahari's. Well, that's an interesting meeting. That's a really interesting meeting. Gauranga meets the Bhattaharis. It's a type of Prem Leela. But Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they couldn't even touch him. But they got to see him. And if anyone would simply see him, they would get Prema. And they raised their weapons to strike him when he tried to retrieve his lost servant, Kala Krishna Das. So then their weapons just bounced off Lord Chaitanya and inflicted themselves. So now it's a meeting with Gauranga with all the bhaktas, all the premi bhaktas. So what's different between all the gopis running to the sound of Krishna's flute to gather a Nyumuna Pulin for the Devamshivat, for the Rasa Leela? What's different between that premi lan of the gopis in Sham and Maharas dance and the meeting of Mahaprabhu and all the bhaktas in this Gaur Leela and Jagannath Puri? There's no difference. There's no bhed. Of course, you can go deep into it, but it's a nice question to ask. What's the difference between all the bhaktas, all the premium bhaktas, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Narendra Sarovar Milan, and Jagannath Puri before Rath Yatra? Is there a different intensity in that meeting than in a meeting with all the beloved gopis of Krishna being called to the Rasa dance? That's something to consider. Vaishnav Grihini Jata Patni Bratagan Dure Takke Prabhu Deki Karaye Krandan. The wives of the chaste wives of the Vaishnavas, the Vaishnava Grihini, Pati Brata Gan, all those who are following that intense vow of fidelity and faithfulness to their husbands, Pati Brata Gan, that whole group of chaste wives. Grihini, that's interesting. Like we have a word in English called homemaker. Have you heard this word, homemaker? So this Bengali word, grihini, means homemaker. the rani of the griha, griha rani, becomes, in Bengali, it's very sweet. The Vaishnav, the chaste wives of the Vaishnavas, they were a little bit behind their husbands, the pandits, and Advaitacharya and Shivananda Sen, a little behind. And when they saw Lord Gauranga in the meeting of all the devotees, they were so happy and so joyful. They were just didn't know what to do, but their ecstasy increased so much they started crying. They were just looking at the Lord. Look at this loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees. See that this loving exchange, and the wives are crying while gazing at Gauranga. They're crying, just like Mother Yashoda. She simply gazes at the face of her Lala, when she goes in the morning. In Pratak Leela, she goes to wake up Krishna. And when she just leans over the bed and she's stroking his face and looking at his face, her Lala, her Nandalala, looks so gentle, so beautiful, so angelic, that she starts crying. She's just crying. And then her breasts automatically start pouring milk. Now Krishna's 10 years old at this time in Nandagram. 10 years old, and Mother Yashoda is 80 or 90, because she had gave birth to Krishna when she was 75, and Nanda Maharaj is 84 or something like this. This is generally what we hear, very old age. And you see the paintings of Nanda Maharaj when he's playing with his little child, Krishna. Then, or Krishna, or Yashoda Nandan, he has black hair with all white inside. His beard is like black and white, you know, like salt and pepper beard. And that doesn't come when you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60, especially in those days. So she's crying. And then Sham is deeply asleep because he's so tired and fatigued from Rasa dance. So Mother Yashoda is leaning. She's leaning one hand over Krishna's chest. She supports her body weight and she's leaning over her Lala. And with one hand, she's stroking his hair and his face and just rubbing his belly, and she's crying. And she needs to wake him up because all the coward boys have gathered there and all the cows want to see him, darshan. but she doesn't want to wake him either. So it's kind of a dilemma. So she's thinking what to do, but before she can conclude, Mother Yashoda, what to do, as she's looking at Krishna, her tears, which are falling out of her Vatsalya Prem, they fall on Krishna and he wakes up. Can you imagine if you've ever gone camping? Some people, you go out in the woods and we go camping. Or maybe you're lying on the roof and you're sleeping. Forget about camping. Camping out in Vrindavan. In the summertime, we sleep on the roof on a charpai. And you're lying there and all of a sudden you feel tuk, dut, 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 dut. Because it's 25 years I'm sleeping on the roof in the summer season with no AC. So then you're like, you wake up, what's that, some bird or what? Some bird went by, and then you go, oh, it's raining. Oh, maybe it just rains a little, I'll just stay here. But then maybe it rains a lot and all my bedding and everything gets ruined. You don't have much time to run inside before, because in Vrindavan it can go like this. So this is Krishna. He woke up with these raindrops of the love of Mother Yashoda. So here are these chaste wives are just simply seeing the face of Gauranga, Gaura Chandra, Gaura Shiromani, that beautiful golden face, and they start crying as a sign of their love. It's an anubhav, their love is expressed in that way. Tansabara Premadhare Anta Nahi Pai Sabe Vaishnavi Shakti Beda Kichu Nahi. Vaishnavi Shakti, very nice term. Vaishnavi Shakti. Be careful about Vaishnavi Shakti and Vaishnav Shakti. Prabhav, we say Guru Prabhav, Sadhu Prabhav. Well, ladies are also sadhus, saintly persons, so they have Bhakta Prabhav, the influence, the effect, the power of the saintly person is inconceivable. The Vaishnavi Shakti. Have you heard of Gandhari? In Mahabharata, the chaste wife, she was also a pati. This phrase is there, it says, pati brata. She was so intensely following pati brata, the vow of a faithful, chaste, surrendered housewife in the Vedic society, the wife of Dhritarashtra, that when she was arranged this marriage, she married a husband who was blind. And the wife never wants to be more than the husband, at least in those days, it was like that. And so she voluntarily blindfolded herself. She covered her eyes with a piece of cloth, and she lived her whole life like that, with her eyes blindfolded. Because my husband cannot see, so why should I see? I should not. So then somehow, I don't know how they all navigated, but somehow they navigated around their palace. The husband's blind and the wife is blind. As far as I know, that's how it's depicted. But the essential point that we want to make here is the Vaishnavi Shakti that she had. Obviously, she was a Vaishnavi, a devotee of the Lord, Vishnu. And she had so much tapabalam by following Pati Brata, so much power of austerity, by following this strict vow of a chaste wife, that she had a sankalpa. Because if you have tapabalam, you have strength, spiritual strength gained by bhakti bhajan, by bhakti tapasya, austerities and devotion, and by bhakti bhajan, you develop power, balam. And then with that power, if you take a sankalpa, in other words, you make a vow or an affirmation that, oh my Lord, oh Krishna, I want to, whatever power I have, whatever power that I've received somehow, I want you to bless this person. I want this person to become interested in Krishna consciousness. And you pray like that. And then that power comes from you. Krishna accepts that and he enters from the heart, from the super soul. He turns that person's mind to Krishna. Like Prabhupada often said to us, we said, Prabhupada, you said that if someone, Shastras say, if someone performs lots of spiritual deeds, maybe agyata sukriti. Unknowingly, you may give a donation to a temple, serve a sadhu, take some mahaprasad, etc. Give a ride to some devotee who's hitchhiking or whatever, and don't even know. But that's called, this is a bhakti unmukhi sukriti. It's agyata. You don't know about it, again. But it goes, Krishna knows, and it goes into your account. So when that sukriti accumulates, then you get to meet as a representative, an embodiment. You get to meet an embodiment of sukriti. Of this Shrimatam Swagata Krishna Punya Shravanakir. The devotee who's actually distributing that. So we said, Prabhupada, we didn't do anything. We didn't have any sukriti. We're living in America. There's no sadhus over here to serve. There's no temples. What did we do? And he said, you didn't do anything. He said, I created your sukriti. So that's an example of Vaishnav Shakti, of his Prabhav, that he took a sankalpa that Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, he took a sankalpa that, yes, I want to liberate these people. I want to give them Krishna Prem, Radha Bhakti, Raj Bhakti. And with that sankalpa and all the tapabalam and power that he had acquired, and he was the powerhouse embodiment of, Krishna reciprocated. And one by one, Krishna, Prabhupada was lifting us all up, creating our pious activities, and enabling us to hear from him and surrender to him and serve him. So this is the power. So Gandhari, she took a sankalpa, and based on all her power, she said, Bhagavan, O Vishnu, I'm going to call my son. Who's the son of Gandhari and Dhritarashtra? Duryodhan, the chief of the opposition party, the commander of the opposition party, I believe, was Duryodhan, the Yuvaraj, crown prince. And Duryodhan, whose cousin brother, I suppose, Pandavas, Kauravas, of Arjuna. So it's a fraternal war, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, but they're actually, it's a family war, they're related. And we know about family wars, especially in the West, sometimes there are warring factions in the family. The son and the father are not at peace with each other, if you know what I mean. Sons and mothers are always at peace with each other, but sometimes sons and fathers aren't. So then she called, and she said, please, you come to me naked, although he's fully grown up, but she's the mother. He said, you come to my room, in my private room, naked. Or you come, he obviously came with some clothes on, a bathrobe or whatever, but then when he entered the room, or maybe he didn't, because it says that Krishna met him on the way. So somehow he's parading around like that, on the order of his mother coming to her, approaching her with nagna, no clothing. And then he met Krishna. Somehow Krishna manifested there, because he's everywhere. He said, "Where are you? What is this? Where are you going? You're walking around. This is a sin. You can't walk around without any clothing, at least especially on the lower part of your body." Oh, my mother called me, and so I'm going like this. It's her request. No. This you have to cover this yati, this lower area from the belly button, from the belly button to the thighs, has to be covered. The private parts have to be covered. And here's I have a gumsha right here. So then Krishna gave him a gumsha. I mean, somehow it manifested. They don't say where that appeared from, but Krishna, Icha Shakti, made a gumsha manifest suddenly in the hallway of the palace. I don't think the gumshas are hanging on hooks in the hallway. And he's going naked, so obviously Duryodhan didn't have one in his back pocket. Or maybe Krishna had it inside his turban, I don't know, but he wasn't wearing a turban either, so it's like a little hard, maybe he's like a magician. You pull a turban out of your crown. Pull a gumsha out of your crown. Oh, hey, that's good. So that's the magic of God. He can create anything out of anything, anywhere, at any time. Create anything out of anything, anywhere, at any time. That's Bhagavan. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, and you'll understand what I mean. The darpan, the mirror. Look, wow. Yes, Bhagavan, you can really create anything out of anything, anywhere, at any time. Om Keshavaya Namah. that if somehow you created some kind of semblance that, okay, oh, you know, you're only Vaishnava Praya. Really? You think I'm Vaishnava Praya? Oh, thank you. Vaishnava Praya means you're almost a Vaishnava. I mean, that's considering what kind of quadruped I was, and what kind of quadruped and amphibian I was before that. This is a great promotion on the evolutionary scale, to come from an amphibian to a Vaishnava Praya. You're not. You have no nishtha, no nishtha and bhakti. You're a prakrita bhakta. This is mixed with so much maya and material desire. You're full of prakriti. You're prakrita bhakta. Ah, can you say that again? You're a prakrita bhakta. Bhakta. Bhakta is, as you well know, the word bhakta is not an easy title to achieve. Bhakta, you're a bhakta, a devotee, and of course, you know, Sanskrit pandits, I can explain every ba, ka, ta. Ba means this, and ka means that, and ta, bhakta, comes from budge and worship, and so many things. But it's like this, so that she had this power, and then he put the gamsha, and she appeared before him. With that sankalpa, she took sankalpa, performed achman, took sankalpa, took off her blindfold and looked from the head of her son down to his feet. And her sankalpa was, please, my Bhagavan, whatever tapa balam I have, whatever prabhava or influence I have, please, my sankalpa is, my son's body will turn into iron. Like they have the Iron Man or whatever. And it'll be invincible, and arrows will bounce off his body, and swords will not penetrate his form, his skin and bones will become like steel, steel man, or I guess he's the original Kali man. Kali Yuga, everything's a steel age, so I guess the first steel man was Iron Man, was Duryodhan, the Iron Man. But, so unfortunately, the niyam was, he was supposed to be naked. So his whole body turned into iron except his private area, his thighs, and below his belly button. And as you may know, in the Mahabharata, Bhima fought with Duryodhan because they were schoolmates in a school of club fighting. Krishna indicated he slapped his thigh and said, because Bhima was hitting him on the shoulder and his clothes bouncing up. What's this? It's not, nothing's happening. And he looked at Krishna like, you know, do something. I'm fighting this heroic, this Atirati fighter, Duryodhan. He can fight 10,000 elephants with his left hand. And then at my club, I'm Bhima. I can crack the universe with my club, and I can't crack Duryodhan. So then Krishna looked at him and just went. And so apparently in the Dharma Shastras, Dhanur Veda, about weaponry and fighting, Dhanur, bows and arrows and weaponry, it said that you're not supposed to hit below the belt. In the Western world, we box and fight and things, and you're not supposed to hit someone below the belly button, to make it, the nabha. What to speak of, crack their thighs or the steel with some kind of special club they have, special metal, that gutta. So he did it. There were a lot of rules broken on the battlefield. Because in, you know the phrase, in love and war, there's no rules. And in rules, there's no love. This is the phrase, in love there's no rules, in rules there's no love. So what about these Vaishnavis? They're crying, so they're soft-hearted, they're full of prema. This is an anubhava of their love, this premashu, the sattvic bhav. And the udipan, the stimulant, the excitant to their loving attachment to Gauranga, is simply looking at him. If you look at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it explains different objects, just different ways to any contact with the object of the beloved. Any type of contact with the object of the beloved becomes a stimulant to ignite the reservoir of love in the heart of the lover. Whether you see the beloved, whether it's rupam, or whether it's sparsham, you touch the beloved, or you see the beloved, or you smell clothes of the beloved, or you smell the fragrance of Krishna's body, What happened to Krishna? Nayak, Krishna. Dhiralita Krishna. He's simply walking with the coward boys. And Saraswati Pad explains that Radharani's Ganda. Gandharvika Radha ki Jai. Gandharvika Radha ki
Jai.
So she's so fragrant that when before Radharani came to this planet and appeared here, there was no fragrance in any flower. There was no fragrance in the earth. When Radharani came here and she climbed out of her cradle and revel and she put her beautiful lotus foot on the ground, when Radharani's lotus foot touched the ground, then all the ground in this earth planet attained the power to give fragrance to the flowers. Because she's Gandharvika. As you know, the earth is the source of all the taste and fruit comes from the earth. All the beautiful scents and fragrances of the flowers come from the earth. And the earth has the five rasas. So Radharani is at Gandharvika. When she put one toe on the earth, then, because if you take some earth, if I give you a piece of earth, here, does it smell like roses? No. Does it smell like chameli, juhi, kadamba? No. Does it, here, eat this earth. It's Brahmandagat. Eat this. Does it taste like mango? Does it taste like chiku? Does it taste like lychee? Or does it taste like any these exotic fruits, dates, whatever? No, it's dirt. So when Radharani, so this is the power of Radharani. So this, there, it says there's Tansabara, so they were crying, and it says, here's the translation what I read. There is no end to their affection, the Vaishnavis' affection for Gauranga, for they were all expansions of the Supreme Lord's internal energy. So all the wives, these are all the wives of the Brahmins and Pandits like Advaitacharya and Shivananda Sen and others who had come from Mayapur and Navadvip to meet Gauranga and spend 4 months with him in Puri Leela. And the Jalkeli and Narendra Sarovara and Chandan Yatra and the Noka Vihar of Jagannath and then of course the Rath Yatra and then all these pastimes, Gandhicha Marjan, as you know. So this is our just meeting now. This is the first day of the 4 months Leela. It's starting off with a bang. It's starting that we read already how they met and they're embracing and they're falling in the streets and everyone's offering dandavats and the lady. So this is how the male devotees are interacting with the Lord because they have that intimacy of the being with him closely and they're a little bit at the respectful distance. But there's no distance between hearts. There's only distance between bodies. So your body, my lover may be in Switzerland, let's say, and I'm in India, some worker save over here. But our hearts are together. And so much together because there's a word in Sanskrit, chit, it's called chit. Chit means heart. Chit means mind, or we can say, excuse me, Atma means soul. Atma means mind. Atma means heart. This word Atma, Jivatma. So when I said there's no separation between hearts, because the heart is the Atma. So when you think of the beloved, immediately they're in your heart. So your heart is your Atma. So that this is the point that these ladies are at some distance. It says they're at some distance. It says Dure Take Prabhu Deki Kariye Krandan. They simply saw their beloved Rupam, Rup Darshan, Rup Dhyan. They saw, Gauranga. And they started crying. That was the Udipan. Some devotees, they come and they see the Murti. I remember when I lived at Radhadamodar in 1989, there was one lady, a great devotee, very great devotee, young lady at that time, but now older lady. And she would come into the temple of Damodar in an off time when there weren't too many people there, early, like 10 o'clock in the morning, because usually early morning, late afternoon, so many yatris and visitors go before work, after. So she'd come at a very quiet time, like 10 o'clock, when no one's around. And she would stand there in front of Bengali Vaishnavi and look at Damodar and just completely like absorbed, like samadhi. I don't know samadhi, but like fixed, concentrated attention. And I would be coming from Prabhupada's rooms from the corner, and then I had to know who this was. I would be a little wait till she would leave, not to disturb her communion with the Lord. But when I first went, I saw somebody's there, so I wanted to take darshan. So she was standing there, and I stood a little away on the side by Chalchikan and Radha Madhav, and she was directly opposite Damodar and Lalita. So I stood a little aside, looking at Radha Chalchikan. There's different deities there, Damodar Mandir, four deities, Radha Chalchikan, Radha Chalchikan. And then I glanced like that, because I felt a lot of energy coming from somewhere. And I looked, and this tears just coming down like this, falling. I mean, it's nice to, this is called sanskaras, bhakti sanskaras. When you see bhakti, when you actually see genuine bhakti in action, you see some advanced devotees humbly serving any devotee. You go to Mayapur or somewhere to Navadvipa Parikrama, and the acharyas of the math or the mission, they're going down the line and they're serving everyone in the line, the prasadam, and with great devotion and care and attention for each individual Vaishnava. And you see that when you first see devotion in action. Devotion in action. It's not a concept. Devotion is not a concept. It's not some mental concept. It's an expression of a purified heart. And all kinds of physical expressions, like cooking and singing and serving and so many things. So when you see that, you say, wow, that's... It's not that... Not that you're seeing designations. It's not that you want, okay, he's big, the big guy is serving a small person. Oh, that's some kind of impression. I'm not talking, that's not necessarily a bhakti sanskara. But when you observe the devotion and the love in the person's face and the way they're doing it, then you understand you're seeing bhakti in action. Of course, they're devotees also, great acharya or whatever. So that stays with you. So now that Brahmanis are simply seeing, they're simply seeing Garanga Mahaprabhu, and they're crying. So when I saw this lady, and I was actually seeing pure devotion in action. There is no one there. She was communing with the Lord, Damodar. And then I inquired, that was from some time, from the mandir, I said, because the Mahant, I said, do you know this lady? Yeah, she's a Bengali lady, so-and-so. I said, I don't know, what can I say, because I don't have any way to measure. But it seems like she's very attached to Damodar. She would come every day, same time, and usually the same phenomenon. I said, she's really advanced, or what's the situation? And they said, yes, she's like this. She's like, maybe, who can say? He said to me, what can I say? Can I judge? Who can judge? Which is true. He says, then it was also, he started to tell me about her biography. And then as I heard about her biography, I figured, well, it makes sense. Nidra Harvey, people have traveled with her, and she went on the train and lived with her for 2 weeks. They never saw her sleep. And so he's chanting, so many lakhs, and doing smaran. And so when you look at all the lakshana and the activities and put it all together and the anubhavas and expressions of their love, you can kind of draw a pretty clear conclusion that the person is a bhava bhakta or prema bhakta. So this is simply by seeing the form of the deity. This is an example of the udipan to stimulate love, simply by seeing the form of your beloved in the form of the Archamurti. Of course, for someone at that level, they're not seeing the Archamurti. They're not seeing an Archamurti of Damodar. They're seeing Sakshat Krishna. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksadeva Yeshu Vilokayanti. Like Prabhupada said, you see the Acharya is sitting chanting japa, and next to him is a new initiate. And they're both Hare Krishna. So they're both thinking the same thing. They're both meditating on the same thing. They both have the same bhav, obviously. Possibly, but generally the answer would be no. So there's no end to their affection for Gauranga. They were all expansions of the Lord's internal Vaishnav Shakti Ved Kichu Nahi. So that's kind of answers the question we were saying, who. And when Gauranga met all of these you could say is one answer, but when Garanga met all the Vaishnavas at Narendra Sarovar, when they, coming from Bengal, and that Prem Ilan, is there any difference between that meeting and Krishna meeting all the gopis and the Maharas dance? So the answer here, they're all expansions of the internal energy. Of course, then you get into the fine points. Well, but then all these devotees that are in male forms and Brahman forms, many of them are Sakis and Manjaris. Because you could say all the Milan and Ras Lila, when Krishna meets all the devotees there on the banks of Yamuna, there are so many Mahabhavati gopis, and Radharani, and, well, Gadadhar Pandit's there. and Advaitacharya has a Sakhi form, and the name is there, Sobhagya, or he's a Mantri or a Sakhi, or his name, Sobhagya Mantri, but he's Sakhi. All the Panchatattva have their Sakhi forms with their names, and at least that's what we've read, their names also, and seen. So that's something to think about. Gyan Bhakti Yogi Sabe Patira Saman Kahiya Achena Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan. These Vaishnavis, as well as their husbands, were all as good as their husbands in knowledge and devotion. Gyan Bhakti Yogi Patira Saman. Their patis, Saman, they were equal. This was the verdict of Lord Chaitanya. It's interesting. That Vrindavan Das Thakur is explaining the mind and heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his phrase. He's speaking here, not Lord Chaitanya. This is the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan. He considers that the wives, and their knowledge of Krishna and their devotion is not any different than their wives. And then the next verse. E mata vadya git nritya sankirtane ailena sabai chalaya prabhura sane. In this way, all the devotees of Gauranga entered the town of Jagannath Puri with the Lord while singing, dancing, chanting, and playing musical instruments at sankirtan. Pram Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana Ki Jai. Vadya Git Nritya Sankirtane. Prabhu Arsane with Prabhu Gauranga. Hena Se Haila Prema Bhaktira Prakash Hena Nahi Deki Jara Nahaya Ulas. There was such a manifestation of ecstatic love in that Sankirtan party that not even one single person was unhappy. Now that's a pretty unusual event. Take any given event anywhere in the world. It's a so-called sporting event, a fun event, a place of fun and games. Everyone will be happy there? No. But Sankirtan is such that by speaking this verse, he's actually describing a lakshana, one of the characteristics of the practice of Sankirtan, that everyone becomes happy. And it says ulas. It says such a manifest prema bhakti prakash, that Sankirtan manifests love, pure devotion is manifested, and the blending of all those hearts. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sankirtan, the blending of all the hearts, if one of those hearts is a pure heart, if one devotee has pure devotion, then everyone in that Sankirtan party will get pure devotion. Because his chanting of the holy name will make all the chanting of the holy name Shuddhanam. Just like one drop of Ganga water, if you put it in a big, it shouldn't look one eye at anyone, it's extremely inauspicious. It says in Ved, if you rub your eye like this and look at someone, you've heard of Shakuni or someone like that, or someone in the had some funny eye. It says if you look like that, that person will become your enemy. So there's two, you may have a sore eye, so you're going like that, looking at someone and rubbing your eye. You should close both eyes, or rub both eyes, but don't look at them. If you're going to rub, then you look at the ground. This is Vaishnava etiquette, and it's a fact. And the other thing is, sometimes we're standing, we're talking to devotees, and we don't have any pain in our eyes, but the sun is coming. You know, sometimes you're standing there, he's in the shade, but the sun is in your eyes, and you say, well, like this, you should move your position. Say, excuse me, the sun's coming in my eyes, let me just, you know, change the angle of your vision with the devotee you're speaking to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
A translator? Vaishnava, yeah. So it's like that. So this you should know. This is a very bad thing. One eye. So just like there's another thing in Veda, you can never trust a one-eyed astrologer. It's very interesting because I know someone's a one-eyed astrologer because he's supposed to see the future. It's Jyotish, he's supposed to see the future and tell you the bhavishya, what's happening in your brigo or whatever. And if you had one eye, it's a little hard to see. But I was, because one friend of mine, he told me about this other astrologer, and he said, I don't have anything personal, but it's very ironic because in the Jyotish Shastra, it says one can never count on the predictions of a one-eyed astrologer, and he pointed out this person is practicing astrology when that restriction is already there. So it's somehow I actually know someone who is one-eyed like that. Anyway, these are little tangential points, little spice in the sideline here. But Vaishnava behavior as Sadachara is, this is actually human behavior, the one-eyed program. It's very important. It's essential because we can get into wrong behavior can really entangle us. You've heard of the mad elephant offense? Mad elephant offense is an example of wrong behavior. Is it right? You behave in the wrong way with the wrong person at the wrong time, you can be finished. At least temporarily, the bhakti lata is eternal. Bhakti is nitya. But, you know, that analogy, the plant is trampled down by that mad elephant offense against a great devotee, but there's something called the root, the mool. The mool is still there. That again, next life, some leaves will come up, or maybe later in that life. That's up to Krishna, what kind of term of punishment he wants to give to the devotee. You must have heard that analogy, that if a mad elephant enters your garden and tramples all the plants, they're dead, they're finished. The tender bhakti lata, the komala lata of bhakti. So that's an example of behavior can have the most deleterious and harmful effect. So everything. So it's all a matter of degree. You know. So when we don't behave socially properly, or there's behavior, there's sadachara according to the varna, sadachara according to the ashram, there's sadachara, there's behavior for all human beings, to be kind to others, to help the unfortunate living entities, to distribute food. There's so much, so all these rules of one eye and all these are all about behavior, and it comes in the category of offenses and sins. We read in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it was the most amazing point, we read a few weeks ago, that if, and I'm not saying this because of the ashram, but I'm just saying this as a principle of behavior, that it says if someone fails to offer respect to a sannyasi, you know, just a sannyasi doesn't even say Vaishnava. And that's in the Bengali, then there's a shloka to show it. That is a sin. And you have to do prayaschitta, atonement, to mollify or to neutralize that sin. I mean, that's Vrindavanas Thakur is telling, we read that. And then what is the, let's say, punishment or the nullification process, the atonement process, prayaschitta, they say. And then it says you're supposed to fast for the whole day. And maybe you've heard that. I mean, I often heard that when I grew up in ISKCON. Oh, if you don't offer obeisances, and you should... But, you know, we've become very casual. No one really understands all these rules of Vedic life. It used to be taught by the grandmother. You know, the rules of Vedic life, the proper behavior of a Vaishnava Sadachara, because everyone in the society was a Vaishnava. And Satyuga and Tretyuga, Dwapar. Because when did Shankar start preaching? Shankar started preaching at Advaitavad and Kali Yuga. So the other three yugas... Was there any Mayavadis? Okay, a few isolated sannyasis who studied, they were gyanis and sannyasis, okay. But the 99% of the people in all the ages were Vaishnavas. It's just a matter of what degree. Just think about it. So now it's like the other way around. 99% are Mayavad and Buddhists. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyade Chatarne, my Gurudev's Pranam prayer. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani. So the Vaishnavas are going around the world doing Gaura Prachar. Everywhere, all the Vaishnavas, all the Gurus are traveling and doing Gaura Pracharani. To what? To remove the Nirvishesha Sunyavad. To remove and not, I won't say destroy, we're not out there to destroy people, but we're out there to destroy misconceptions and limited views. Because the idea of Advaitin view is not the full view. And that's all that people get exposed to these days, is the Buddhistic view or the Advaitin view. And that's only the Brahman or the Nirvan. The Brahman or the Nirvan? The Brahman for the Advaitins and Nirvan for the Buddhists. But there's something more. That's Paramatma. There's something more. There's Bhagavan. So at least we're going out to say, there's not only one view of the Absolute, there's three. Now you choose what you like. Let me tell you about Bhagavan. Oh, now which do you choose? I want Bhagavan. You know, this is the whole idea. So there's so much like this in this age. So they're experiencing such a... Not one person was unhappy in that Sankirtan party. Prema Bhakti Prakash, there was such a manifestation of pure love. So this brings us to a nice point here about Harinam Sankirtan, the public congregation, public, whatever, private, congregational chanting of the holy name, Vadya Git Nritya, dancing, singing. If everyone enters that, everyone that goes on the Sankirtan party, if they go there with a pure bhav, they may not be pure devotees. Well, let's say they, let's say we, forget about they. We may not, or we're not pure devotees, but we go on the Harinam Sankirtan, sometimes, or perform Sankirtan. So what we can offer, we should offer our full hearts, because there's two hearts. There's the devotional heart and the karmic heart. So the devotional heart is the purity of your desire and the purity of your intention to love God and serve God eternally. That's the pure heart. Because even the materialists say the heart has four parts. There's actually one heart has four hearts. So, but in this analogy, I say that there's two hearts, the devotional heart and the karmic heart. And the karmic heart has this desire and the anyabhilashi, this gyan and karma and lust and anger, that, I don't know, that heart is there somewhere inside. Okay, but we don't bring that heart to the Sankirtan. We leave that heart at home, or at least for 1 hour. The karmic heart, we bring our devotional heart. Say, Krishna, I want to offer my full heart to the chanting of this holy name. And it says, Vadya Gita Nritya, that they were singing and they were chanting and dancing and playing musical instruments. They're doing everything. And they were playing, okay, were they playing the mridanga with full heart? Yes. Were they playing the kartals with full heart? Yes. Were they singing with full heart? Yes. They offered, of course, they're premi bhaktas, so they're, when we say they offer their full heart, a heart full of prema. So we're not premi bhaktas, so we can't offer a full heart to the Sankirtan, but we can offer our devotional hearts. And our devotional hearts actually have pure aspirations. And our devotional hearts have pure intentions and desires to have pure feelings and pure attachment for Radha and Krishna. Everyone will agree. There's no one in this room that won't agree that I want my heart to be full of pure feelings of love and attachment for Radha and Krishna and Lord Gauranga. Otherwise, why are we here? We're all brothers, we're all sisters of the common goal and the common prayojan. So now, the Harinam is a blending of pure devotional hearts. Everyone comes together, and you're tired, and you're like this, or you don't like this one, you don't like that one, or you're envious of this. Then you leave all that aside, and you offer into the fire, into the mouth of the Sankirtan, into that fire, the Sankirtan Yagyu, you offer your pure devotional heart with your hands. You know, hands playing kartals, either hands... There's two things, there's three things the hands can do in kirtan, in sankirtan. Let's say neti. First, the hands don't go in your pockets. Hands don't go in the pockets. Hands in the jacket pockets, and just call Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's three things the hands can do, right? Play an instrument, whatever, kartal, etc. Clap. This is called kartal. Tal means beat, and kar means hand in Sanskrit. Like pushkar, the flower, the pushpakar, she dropped a flower over there. So this is kar, keeping a beat. This is kartal, kartali. Clapping, playing musical instrument, whatever, flute, guitar, whatever, something, whatever, some, or danda, what do you say? Uto ulas danda, or some name, raised arms, you know.
Urdhva bahu.
Urdhva bahu, the bahu of the arms, or urdha, like urdhva pandra tilak. Upraised arms, the two hands should be up in the sky, or clapping. And someone just walks on, well, you know. Hare Krishna. Where's, that means your heart is, your devotional heart is not there. You're just driving on the wheels of your karmic heart. So when we read about this, this is pure Sankirtan by Premi Bhakti. So that's the standard. So that standard that we hear about, we try to see it by the words and the paintings of the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. These words make paintings, the paintings make pictures, the pictures make sanskaras, and we commit those paintings of these beautiful pure devotional scenes, we commit them and place them in our mind and heart and try to remember them when we're chanting japa. This is the rasudgar, or the recollection of the ras, or the smaran, remembrance. Simple smaran is simply at five levels of smaran, simply try to remember those devotional scenes that you've read about and heard about. Simple smaran. And then it creates so much impressions in the heart. It's called sanskaras, impressions. And then when you go out on Sankirtan and say, hey, what am I doing? I'm not, my heart, where's my devotional heart? We have one. Every single devotee, whether they're Vaishnava, Praya, Kanishtha, Nishtha, whatever they are, Kanishtha, Nishtha, Trishna. They're Kanishtha, Nishtha, or Krishna, Trishna. You know, they have taste for Krishna. They have devotional hearts. And because everyone in that Sankirtan party, aside from the fact that they're all relishing Prem Ras Sankirtan, but the idea is that no one was unhappy. So the same thing, although it's not the intensity of the Prem Ras that they're experiencing in Prem Ras Sankirtan, but if everyone in the Sankirtan party is offering their devotional heart blended with the chanting of the holy name, everyone will be happy. And everyone, of course, has hopefully experienced such a Sankirtan party where everyone is quote-unquote into it, or whatever you want to say, like that. There's so much teachings for us in Chaitanya Bhagavat, and of course so much Ras also. Atara nala haite dasha danda hoile Mahaprabhu ailena narendrera kule. Mahaprabhu met them at the bridge leading the small river. It's called Atara nala, means 18 arches. And he led them to the bank of Narendra Sarovara. In about 4 hours. It's not that far from the Atara nala bridge to Narendra Sarovar is about 1 hour walk, or 40 minute walk. It's not very far. But somehow it took 4 hours. We've all been in Harinam Sankirtan parties. Sometimes it takes hours to go down the street. You go one place and you stay for a half hour and go down the street a little more. So they're relishing such happiness and such joy in the Harinam. So I guess we'll continue on. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jaya.